The following is presented to you in Around Sound.
It was recorded with whatever was lying around.
Lady don't take no shit, insist on respect the sister, walk around like a womanish. She won't speak unless it's something worth saying, don't play. The girl take herself so serious, like, people stare curious, like, she got a natural way, her hips sway furious, like, yet luxurious, like, carries herself like the cutest, most prettiest thing you see this side of the bay.
Hey! This is Lady Don't Take No, your weekly roundup of all of the real and none of the fake. I'm your host, Alicia Garza. This show is pro-black, pro-queer, proudly feminist, and pro-do-what-you-like. Every week, you're going to get the best of what goes on in my head, what we loving on and what we hating on, what we might be and what we ain't going to do. Politics, pop culture, crawling towards 2022 and hating that we have a month left of 2021 all at the same time, we cover it all. This podcast is based in Oakland, California, the center of the known universe, where we are dealing with Rona and Reconstruction. It's a challenging time, a changing time. It's a time of transformation. It's all the things all the time nowadays, but we are going to help you understand the dynamics of this time every single week. So be sure to tune in, tell a friend, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We do it for the culture, so the pod is free 99, because we know that with a country in chaos, the least we could do is keep you from putting your money anywhere else than where it's needed.
Okay, this is kind of like actually hilarious. Like the president of the United States is tweeting at me and he's like a total clown. And I was like, this is ridiculous, but you also played yourself because then you like made me way more popular. So.
Our guest this week is an American soccer champion and activist. She is the co-captain of the U.S. women's national team. She's a two-time World Cup champion and an Olympic gold medal winner. She's also an advocate for equality for all and has been able to intersect her passion for humanity and authenticity. She's the best, and she's here, and we are so fucking stoked. Please welcome Megan Rapinoe! Megan, hey!
What's up? Hey! Thank you for having me. The honor is all mine.
I am so obviously excited to have you on this show.
Likewise,
I feel like
likewise.
We get to kiki in the DMs, but now we can bring the DMs to the pod.
To the people. Bring them to the people. Right. Some of them. I sometimes think like, oh my God, if my DMs got hacked, like,
That's what we'd be saying about the group chats. But I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Just say it with your chest.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't take any of it back. So it's like, totally. I'm like, ooh, it's going to be bad, but I stand by it all.
Like, I meant that shit. Exactly.
I meant it.
So look, we started this podcast at the beginning of the pandemic. I thought maybe like, 3 months, maybe 6 months, we'd be talking about it in the past, but it just seems like it's fucking here to stay. So I sometimes I'm like, okay, I keep asking about people's like quarantine life, but I guess I should just ask about your pandemic life. And so what has pandemic life been like for you? And have you developed any unique habits live and direct from Miss Rona? Or any of her cousins?
Gosh. I mean, what a family they are. Thanks for gracing us with your presence. It's just been strange, but I started thinking about this even in the beginning, like 2020. Like, you know, we sort of hear, because we obviously, when it first started, it was like, okay, we've had Spanish flu and then we've had influenza and we've had these other things. And you just hear about them like in this short little like, cute story. It's like, oh yeah, in 1918. But I've been thinking, it's like, I always think like, this is, I guess, what it's like to live during it. It's normal because your normal life has to go on and you have to do, you know, I have to work out and, you know, we have to go place, not many places, but we have to do certain things. And then everything is completely different and more difficult. And you're in this constant state of trying to like level up your education and information, trying to figure out what on earth is going on and how to keep safe and what the best protocols are. And so it's exhausting, but it feels like something you can't really get out of. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've spent a lot of time at home just kind of relaxing. I do miss, And have missions, obviously, you know, open up a lot, and I'm vaxxed and boosted. And I'm like, whenever there's something, send it to me and put it in me immediately. Totally. So at least we can do some things.
But, yeah, exactly.
We've spent a lot more, you know, just kind of time at home, because even, you know, at times it feels like you want to go do something, but it's like, it's stressful. Yeah. And, you know, even, you know, I just visited my family. And so seeing, you know, different family members and different people and going to a restaurant. And it's kind of always, at least for us, it's always this thing that we're thinking about. And I think, you know, being an athlete just kind of changes the game a little bit, especially when we were in season, you know, which is the majority of the year. Like, I can't get COVID. You know, I can't, it's like, if I do, I'm out for 2.5 weeks. And then, you know, of course, if you get a severe case, it's, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. But I think a big part for, you know, my partner Sue and I was just like, it's really not worth it. I don't want to be out for 2 weeks. I don't want to get COVID. So it just felt super strict. And now I feel a little bit better, but it's still, it's like, I don't want to quarantine for a week or 2 weeks. Like, this is going to, I got travel plans. I got things to do. So
the streets are calling my name.
Yeah, the streets are calling my name. So, I mean, I guess that's in a nutshell. It's just been a lot. And I think obviously extremely frustrating that we have so many tools now to get us out of it. And of course, everyone's clamoring. We, you know, on really, I'll say both sides, everybody wants to be out of the pandemic. It's just, there's just a big number of people who refuse to do anything to get themselves or us out of the pandemic. So that's in general, it is very frustrating.
Oh yeah. Shout out to those people, or actually just a big fuck you. We want to go back to the streets, and you are keeping us from doing that. You are a pro soccer player, so we know you got skills. But are there any new skills that you developed during the Rona? I mean, I remember when this whole fucking thing started and people were like going back to the basics, right? You would think it was just like a whole movement, right? People were like, I'm going to plant a garden. I'm going to make bread from scratch, right? We had all these like new things that people were trying. I was talking to my sister Carrie on one of the last pods, and she said she took up painting and then started sending them to people. OMG.
As gifts. Here you go. Totally. I'm sure you'd want this and love this.
So are there any new skills that you've developed during the pandemic?
Oh, God. I mean, I can't really think of any. I didn't get super into cooking or anything. I'm not baking bread. I'm not growing things. I mean, I guess I became an expert in avoiding COVID. So that was good. Praise be, I haven't gotten it. I mean, I'm trying to think if I've... Now I sound like I've just been like sitting around for 2 straight years, you know, doing,
no, you have
doing
not.
Jack all. Imagine. It's like, no, I just sat on my couch. I'm just waiting for Rona to leave. She
hey, that's
leave.
A skill. That's a skill. You weren't doing that before the panty. That's for sure.
True. I actually, yeah, I guess in all seriousness, I think I've taken time to rest. I think 2019 was, you know, and even the year before that was just a really busy, crazy. And I think like that sort of crazy became normal, and just traveling all the time and constantly going from here to here to here. And it actually is like, oh, I can just say no and I can sit and rest and spend time. And it's like, if I don't have anything to do, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Also, if I can just, you know, have a little bit more of a calmer life. So I think it's taught me that a little bit too, and just kind of the ability to sift through, like, what do I actually want to do and spend my time doing and put energy towards, and what I can, you know, maybe leave behind.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. My sister Latifa, who was on the pod a few weeks ago, said she learned how to break up with busy. And I've been sitting with that for a while. I've
That's
been sitting
really
with
good.
That for a few weeks now. Like, oh, can I break up with busy? Yeah. When I think about people who are experts in their craft, I always wonder if they remember the very first time that they fell in love with their craft. So do you remember the first time you fell in love with soccer?
I mean, I think if I have to pinpoint it, it's running along the sidelines of my older brother's practice. I'm a twin. My sister and I are the youngest kids, and our older brother's 5 years older than us. And so I think probably as like a babysitting mechanism, my mom was like, you guys are coming, play on the side. But just watching him and his, you know, the kids his age, the boys his age, and kind of just, you know, being fascinated by that. I've always been kind of, you know, someone who's like, if I'm really into someone and someone's like doing it better, or if I like their style or something, I'm just like, I sort of get entranced by it. So I think probably we were maybe four or five or six or something, kind of just, you know, running around playing with each other. But I definitely remember like, wow, they're so amazing. And that's like what I want to do.
Wow. How long have you been playing professionally?
Oh, dear.
Sorry. I'm like, gosh,
when do I pull it back? I think like 10 years, basically.
Okay.
11? No, it's more than that. It's like 12 or 13. Yeah.
Wow. You're an OG in the
old
game.
Yeah. There's maybe like one other person who's older than me, like by a month still. And it's, I'm getting up there. Okay. Getting up there.
You know, for so many of us who kind of hone in on a thing we love and like throw our souls into it, people like that, like never, their profiles never like blow up. But your profile, like, skyrocketed. It just like went
crazy
out into the outer galaxies. And I'm just curious, I mean, as somebody who, you know, for me personally, I remember just like doing my shit. And then all of a sudden, like people like knew who you were and you're like, what the fuck? I mean, how do you navigate that?
Why are you looking at me? Do you ever feel like people just like are staring at you? And I'm like, I guess now it's like, I'm like, okay, they, you know, they might whatever know who I am or something. But I'm also like, but you saw me.
Right. Can we move on?
It is strange. It is strange. Sometimes I'm like, is it because I'm gay? Right. Is it because like I'm in a more conservative area? Is it because my hair? Is it because of me? Do you like me? Do you hate me? Like
what's going on here?
Yes. Yeah. Totally. I'm like, I don't know what angle those eyes are coming from.
I mean, how do you navigate it though? Like what have you learned about how to navigate an increased global profile?
I think just first and foremost, just don't take anything, yourself included, too seriously. You know, while of course being serious about topics and very passionate about things, but just to take it all with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said this for a while, but I feel very fortunate that I was a little bit older when that happened. I was, you know, 35. I mean, I can't imagine if I was, you know, 20 or 22 or even, you know, 30 in a lot of ways. So I think being a little bit older, I was like, okay, this is kind of like actually hilarious. Like the president of the United States is tweeting at me and he's like a total clown. And I was like, this is ridiculous, but you also played yourself because then you like made me way more popular. So right, I was like, this is insane.
You're like, thanks, bro.
Yeah. I was like, thanks for the extra followers. Yeah. And so that was just like insane. And I think just like appreciating it for what it is and also like leveraging it for so much. I think, you know, definitely after the World Cup, it was kind of like, okay, there's so many issues, whether it's equal pay or Black Lives Matter, or Trans Lives Matter, or gay rights or women's rights or whatever it is, but all the rights, just using all of that for good. I kind of saw it as like this amazing gift that was able to, you know, not just take my voice, but you know, where I get these words from. It's not like I'm making all this up myself and try to spread that around. And then like keeping my peoples tight. You know, I have a great family and obviously I have my partner Sue and, you know, people that I work with that I just really trust that like that's really what matters. Mm-hmm. Obviously social media is a crazy place. It can be very good for so many things. It can be crazy for a lot of things and just, you know, taking that with a grain of salt as well. And then like really, I think at times just unplugging and getting away and being able to just either be on vacation or be home or just relax and kind of regroup. And then I always think too, I'm like, this is just crazy. Like I never expected my life to be able, but like, it's just crazy. And, you know, when people come up, if they're, you know, kids or parents, like, you know, for the most part, they're just excited and they're so sweet. And it might be 6 a.m. off a red eye. When I, you know, this actually happened, I had to buy tampons like off a red eye from Seattle to New York.
Awesome.
It's literally 6 a.m. I look horrid. And this guy's like chasing me down for a picture. And I'm like, sir, I just need to buy these tampons.
Like, but please.
Okay, yeah. Hi, smile. You know, just like trying to be as gracious as possible, knowing really how kind of special this all is and kind of savoring that and not ever kind of taking that for granted.
I really resonate with that. Well, you mentioned equal pay, you mentioned Black Lives Matter. And so I just want to say, just to start off, that, you know, women's sports came out fucking swinging over the last like 2 years. Like literally,
big
I think
time.
Time magazine should just name women like the motherfuckers of the year, right? Because we were like showing the fuck out. So the U.S. women's soccer team really was a huge advocate for and elevated your own fight for equal pay. So I wanted to know if you could give us a sense of where that fight is at and what's at stake.
I feel like equality is at stake always. And it's very frustrating, as I'm sure you can relate in a lot of ways. It feels like sometimes on the other side, it does feel like a game to them. Like, okay, well, if we give an inch, then like you give an inch. And I'm like, okay, this is like our lives, our livelihoods, and like how you view us as human beings. And also, I think for us, you know, we realize like, yes, we have our own equal pay fight personally on the team, but there's also like so many other women that I feel like this is really for, who don't have the ability to have a platform and all of that we have. So it's just like, yeah, sometimes I just want to throw everyone off a cliff. Mm-hmm. And that time is usually always, because mm-hmm. I'm like, this has been going on for however long and it's just so frustrating. But right now, I mean, legally, we're in sort of this period where I think we've appealed a decision in the lower court, which basically the judge essentially said that for two reasons. One, because we signed the contract, we agreed to it, that means it wasn't discrimination, which anybody who knows anything about discrimination knows that that's not really the way it works. Oh, and then also because we made similar dollar amounts to the men's team, even though we won like three times as much and, you know, was more successful because we kind of made the same dollar amount, then that was like, okay, there's no equal pay, even though we had to win two World Cups and, you know, win almost every game that we played. So we're appealing that. I mean, we're always open for settlement, always. Our ears are always open, but mm-hmm. obviously we have to, you know, I think for us, the biggest thing is we have to be able to get up there and say that to the world and sell it to the world and believe it. And if it's not good enough, it's just not good enough. It's not really about we have to get to this dollar, but we have to have certain things in there that we can't really bend on. We're not going to bend on our own equality again or anymore. So I just am always shocked by the fact that we're still in this. I mean, I think just the legal fees alone is probably more than what we were asking for. So it's like, you're willing to do all of this for all of these years. And like, for what? Because it's never going away. It's kind of like the team, there's only one team and one group of players that can play for you. And you know, the inverse, this is the only federation that we can play for. So it's kind of, I think that we could have had a much better working relationship. I think business-wise, it would have been much more fruitful for everyone. But, you know, I guess the equality isn't really everyone's thing all the time. And I get that it's complicated, but also it's like, where are we going? That's what I always think to myself, like, where are we going? Like, in, you know, we look back 5 years ago and, you know, the Federation has done things and said things and taken stances that they've had to go back on continually over these years. And I'm like, you guys, I think if you just start at equality, we're good. And right. then we can move forward from there. But yeah, sometimes I guess just progress is slow and arduous.
Bullshit.
A lot of bullshit.
Well, speaking of bending the knee, I feel like this gets lost in the annals of history, but I just want to like re-raise it, which is that you were one of the first athletes to take a knee after Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid did so. And, you know, because race, right? Like, you did not get the same backlash that they got.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are, right? Colin's got his docuseries out, which is fucking excellent. Have you seen it?
I've seen the first couple episodes. Yeah, it's amazing.
Fucking excellent.
It was really cool how he did that. I didn't know it was going to be like that. Super smart. I love it.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And I keep telling everyone, you need to watch it. But it just made me think, right, about here we are. We're a year after, you know, protests that swept the globe, which was 5 years after, like, the first Black Lives Matter protests swept the globe. And now it seems like we're in this ebb, right? If there's cycles to it, there's ebb and flow. Last year was flow, this year ebb. In terms of like all the fury and flurry around Black Lives Matter. And we're seeing across the nation, you know, some of the culmination of trials, right? And instances of accountability that people were marching for last year, right? All of those things are kind of coming full circle. We saw Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, a young vigilante, get off scot-free. And then, of course, we also saw three vigilantes in Georgia be convicted of their racism, right, and murdering a man around it. So I guess I'm asking, because there's this group chat that I'm in with some badass Black women journalists, and I guess there was some article that came out today, maybe an op-ed piece, where basically in the analysis of the trial of the men who killed Ahmaud Arbery, essentially this man was making this argument that when you kind of take race out of the equation, people do the right thing. What kind of fucking bullshit is this? So I got to ask you, as an anti-racist white person, how do you stay motivated around anti-racism? Because I think there's a lot of folks in this country who may be like backtracking a little bit on Black Lives Matter, like all lives matter. We're like, oh, fuck, we've already done this.
Oh,
like,
God.
How do you endure in an environment, right, where it's not as catchy anymore to be down with Black liberation, but it's still very much a necessity. So how do you do it?
You know, I see all these things as interconnected. They just are. I think, you know, look at the pandemic right now. You can't say that the white supremacist power structure has not completely fueled the, whether it's misinformation or vaccine lies or, you know, the mask mandates before we had the vaccine, or, you know, people storming into, you know, state capitol buildings because you got to wear a mask on your face.
Like, what is going on?
Shit. Like, you pooped
with people
in public and you put it on a wall during a pandemic.
During fucking COVID.
Damn,
like,
damn,
what is going on?
Like, what
it's
earth? Right. So it's, you know, to me, it's like, if you're talking about, you know, gay rights or trans rights, like, it, you know, starts with white supremacy. And if you're talking about women's rights, and if you're talking about, you know, racism and anti-racism work and all of that, I mean, I guess I'm just, I think that's how I just view it all. Like, we don't live in a really fair world at all. And of course, the founding of this country was founded on, you know, chattel slavery and genocide of indigenous people. And we just kind of like wrote this other story and went from there. And to me, I don't understand any other way that it's not all interconnected and how we all aren't affected by it. And of course, different levels of that. And so I just feel like it is our responsibility to make the world a better place for everyone, and our, you know, ourselves included. I think there's, if you want to get really cynical, I'm like, listen, it's going to be better for you too. If you just, if like, you know, everybody gets on board and nobody has to deal with tons of discrimination anymore. But I think when we are all pulling in the same direction and people are taken care of from the bottom up and, you know, in every sort of way that that can mean, we're all better off. We're all safer. We're all happier. We're all healthier. And I think personally too, I'm like, I just don't think that I can look at the history of this country and not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess people do and you can, but I don't know how people sleep at night without, you know, understanding that there's, you know, huge power dynamics at play and racism and all of that. And people are suffering and we're all suffering because of it.
Yeah.
And I just think that for me, it's part of life. It's part of who I am. I think being a woman and being a gay woman has informed that for sure. I mean, I think especially, you know, when I kind of started to have a little awakening for myself after Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and the protests in Ferguson and obviously, you know, Colin and Eric Reed kneeling. And it was kind of like, I have, you know, in a sort of adjacent way, asked people, you know, to be my ally as well. It's, you know, and it doesn't mean that you have to understand everything, but it does mean that you have to believe me. And so I'm asking you to believe me. And so when the same thing is asked of me, I feel like it's just a no-brainer. And yeah, it's always shocking, people's just willful hate and violence of a physical sort, but also in other ways, and just a complete unwillingness to, you know, and I think as a sort of Christian founded nation, just a complete unwillingness to follow any of that, any of those right. whatsoever.
What happened
just
to that
the real
shit?
Nail yeah. in the coffin for me. I'm like, what about Jesus? What? Like, I mean, I'm not really religious, but also right. I've heard the stories. He seemed, you know, like he was down for the people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I think just for me, it's just not a question. It's just something that just has to be, and that is, and that it takes all of us. And I have, you know, my own, whether it's equal pay or, you know, gay rights or whatever, I can, you know, in a small way, understand what that kind of allyship means and what it requires and why it's so important.
Yeah, that's shame. All right, I have one more question for you. You got engaged, and so Lady has to send you a huge congratulations. And having done this wedding planning thing before, it is a whole fucking thing. And for the last 2 decades, I have been passing around my wedding binder to all my queer friends who are like, what the fuck is this marriage shit and how does this happen?
How does it work?
I was thinking about y'all and I got to ask you, are you all deep in wedding planning right now? I mean, what's the weirdest thing you've had to make a decision about with respect to the wedding? Are you guys fighting over like the colors or the shape of the napkins or... You know, is it a fork or a spork? Like, have you had those yet?
We are so deep out of the wedding planning because, first of all, half of America refuses to do anything to get rid of COVID. Correct. And, like, I don't want to have any sort of COVID
right.
mask.
You don't want a super spreader event?
I don't want to worry. I don't want a super, I mean, imagine. Oh, my gosh. Oh my I don't God. Want anything like that. And we're still, you know, very busy. I would imagine we will be fighting about all of
you
those things design-wise. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we definitely need those flowers that are like 20 times more expensive. No, we haven't even started. I think, you know, I think for both of us, there's no rush really to it. You know, obviously we're not saving ourselves for marriage or, you know, if we live together, we're commingling. But I think we want to like really enjoy it. We want it to be, I don't want it to be stressful. And if it's in, you know, our off season or we have to do it while we're doing other things or playing, it's going to be really stressful. It's like, I actually want it to be a really fun experience for both of us. I think we both feel that way. Mm. And just want people to be able to come and chill and have like the best party ever. So I think we've decided like on a warm, dry weather type of vibe. Probably it's like a beach vibe somewhere. That's pretty much as far as we've gotten. But we need all the tips. So if you got any tips,
I have a whole
throw them
binder.
Our way.
Okay. So.
Especially for gay couples. Like I feel like the straights are always like, oh my God, you're gay. You can do whatever you want. And I'm like, what? Like I got to reinvent the entire like wheel. Like what are we going to do? Have a circus? I mean, right. It's like, I guess you could also do anything that
right.
you wanted.
It
but
doesn't fucking work that way.
I know. I'm like, I don't think it works like that. Like people need to eat and dance and like drink and, you know, have pictures and stuff. So.
Oh, I so feel you. Well, I'm happy to pass my binder along.
Yeah.
One last question, because I'm going to squeeze one more in. I mean, you have a zillion projects that you are working on. You have cannabis work. You are doing book clubs. So I'm just wondering, like, what spurs your creative projects for you? And are there any projects that we should know about coming up?
I have a lot of different interests. Like, I obviously play soccer for a living, and that's, you know, what takes up a lot of my time. But I'm very happy to sort of leave that right on the field as soon as I'm done with it. I have a lot of other things that interest me and that excite me. And I feel like in a way, like the games are amazing in sports. And, you know, you always, of course, if you're like in a big moment or a tournament, it's always incredible. But there's, you know, there's a big sort of Groundhog's Day aspect to it where it is kind of like the same grind every single day, sort of, you know, trying to tweak these little things and get better. So I think anytime I have a creative outlet to do something else, I'm always, you know, so excited about that.
Oh, I love it.
I signed a new deal with Nike last year, I guess it was last year or in the beginning of this year. That's going to be a long-term partnership that's going to, you know, allow me to get much more into design and kind of signature pieces and have like a bigger hand in that. And also just storytell around women and people of color and queer people way better. It's like, sometimes with Nike, I think it's like they do it with men and they seem to, you know, be doing it really well. And then it comes to everyone else and they're like, oh my God, we don't really know what to do. And it's like, no, you do. You just have to do sort of the same thing. So it's been kind of a fun process to be able to kind of work from the inside and be able to get in there and, you know, shake all the walls and try to rattle everything that I can. So that's really exciting for me. Obviously still playing, that takes up a lot of time. And we actually just bought a new place. So we're kind of in this like design phase. So that's been really fun, like a totally different clean slate, like nice. Getting to do different materials and what we want and what we want the vibe to be and, you know, all of that. So anything that has to do with, you know, design or fashion or, you know, anything like that, I'm always super into.
Oh, this makes me so happy. And just like that, it's time for our weekly roundup of all the things Lady just ain't gonna do this week. Number one, how the fuck does Chris Cuomo still have a job? Oh yeah, he's a white man. Well, okay, technically Chris Cuomo has been suspended indefinitely from CNN, but y'all know how this goes. This week it was revealed, again, that Chris Cuomo, CNN anchor, was helping his brother, Andrew Cuomo, to beat allegations of sexual harassment when he was the motherfucking governor of New York. I mean, in the land of white man white manning, this does not surprise me, but it does make me mad. It's been months since they've known all of this, and it's only now that anyone is doing anything about it. Meanwhile, this motherfucker been on the air like not a goddamn thing happened, and perhaps it has something to do with the fact that allegedly he too, maybe to be confused with me too, he too allegedly has a problem keeping his hands to his fucking self. And maybe it's not even allegedly because earlier this year, a woman came out and talked about how he put hands on her inappropriately in front of her motherfucking husband. Now, I'm going to go ahead and call this some serial predator shit. What you want to bet he's suspended indefinitely but still getting paid? Child, it's a lot. But maybe not that much coming from a network that put a man back on the air after he pulled out his dick on a work Zoom call and started jacking off. I mean, he's back on the air on this very same station giving legal commentary and getting paid for it. You really cannot make this shit up. Other things ladies ain't gonna do this week is pandemic racism. Now look, y'all, the world is in a frenzy this week over a new COVID variant that has been named Omicron. I don't know how the fuck to say it, but you know what I mean. It was discovered by scientists in South Africa. And basically, the thing you need to know is that it mutates more quickly and therefore spreads faster than other variants. Also, it looks as if vaccines are effective against these variants, but previous infections are not. Most scientists are saying that we really shouldn't worry too much about this. I mean, we're still learning more, and the best protection against it is to get vaccinated. Three shots, my friends. Three shots. That's what fully vaccinated means. Okay, but why was travel to and from South Africa blocked when the variant has been detected in at least 40 other countries and the first known cases are already popping up in the US, including in San Francisco? Well, because pandemic racism, that's why. Look, people, it's not a South African variant. It's a global variant that doctors in South Africa were the first to find. So spread the word on that and get your ass vaccinated, please. And thank you. We ain't playing with y'all no more. Other things Lady just ain't gonna do this week is abortion rights on the chopping block. Now, you know good and damn well Lady was not gonna end the list of things we ain't finna do without talking a little bit about the fact that these motherfuckers on the Supreme Court are primed to try and strike down Roe versus Wade, the landmark case that gave people who can get pregnant the right to terminate that pregnancy if they deemed it necessary for any reason. There's so much that is infuriating about this shit, but the biggest one that I want to drop right here is this. Women are fucking people who deserve to make our own goddamn decisions about our own goddamn bodies. And if you don't like abortion, stop putting your penis in us, okay? These people on the court, with few exceptions, are raising the most asinine arguments about why they think there is a world in which it is okay to prevent people from making decisions about whether or not to reproduce. And that these decisions are somehow like not linked to the well-being of the people who carry the sole ability to spawn another human. Now, the other thing Lady wants to say about this is that elections really do the fuck matter. And this is why. Donald Trump getting elected as the fucking president of the United States meant that he had the power to appoint judges to the Supreme Court in the case of retirement or death. So what did he do? He appointed not one, not two, but three conservative, abortion-hating judges, giving the court a conservative majority. I am literally going through every day trying my hardest not to burn shit down, because actually, there is a way to stop this. And I'm very, very doubtful that the Biden-Harris administration is going to do what needs to be done to stop this country from careening off a fucking cliff. And while usually Lady might say, well, maybe sometimes the shit needs to happen so people can learn their lesson. No, this shit is just a bridge too fucking far. Now, what can the Biden-Harris administration do, you ask, to stop this train from careening into a brick wall? Well, they can start lobbying Congress right the fuck now for a bill to expand the court. Democrats have power now. We gave it to them. Black folks gave it to them. But like I said, folk are afraid to use it because why? Because it seems that Democrats are hell-bent on playing by the rules when Republicans stopped giving a fuck about that years ago and started working on changing the rules. And as long as Democrats wax poetic about a democracy that no longer exists, we will continue to take way too long to address things that require urgent action, like voting rights, like vigilantism, like racist terror, and like the fact that the right to decide whether or not to have a child is about to disappear into dust. Now, here's what we want more of this week, though. Number one, breakups where you can actually stay the best of friends. Now, I am happy to say that I got to spend some time with Malachi this weekend, my ex, and we are literally still the best of friends. We still make each other laugh, we still love each other dearly, and we still have each other's backs. And it makes me think that what Lady loves this week is what happens when two grown-ups stay grown and sexy with the shit and did the work in our relationship to be friends when we were together, which means we can be friends when we're not together. Malachi, thank you for being fucking awesome. Love you, tons and tons. Other things Lady loves this week is Omarion memes. Now, even though we're not here for this new variant bullshit, we are here, in fact, for these Omarion memes. Because, can't nobody pronounce the name of that other shit, and besides, Omarion jokes never get old. Omarion says, do your part and get vaxxed up like you post to be. Oh, okay. I love that shit. Anywho, other things Lady loves this week, Stacey Abrams announcing that she's running for governor. And yes, we are all the way here for it. Honestly and truly, this is the best news of the week. Stacey Abrams has announced that she will be coming back to claim her rightful seat. At the governor's seat, that is. And we love to see it. Now, when she's elected, again, she will be the first Black woman governor in the nation. We love, 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 love to see it, honey. And this time, I'm actually going to get to vote for her and not just get out the vote for her. Please tell people where they can find you on the socials.
I'm in the socials. Oh my gosh. I think on Instagram, I'm Emrapino. On Twitter, I think I'm MPino. I'm not super active on Twitter. Twitter's a wild place.
Oof, the wildest
place. I don't do Facebook. Obviously, all the things are owned by Facebook. And now
you're
we're in the
metaverse.
Fucking metaverse. I'm just like, no one asked for that.
Nobody.
No one.
We just
Mark,
asked you to fucking regulate
to
this shit. But now you've given us another galaxy.
Mark, we didn't ask you to go down that road. No one wanted
that.
You did that weird thing and no one believed it. It was so bizarre. So I'm not on Facebook, but yeah, those two places.
We love having you. Thank you so much, Megan. You're the best.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Yes. So that's it for Lady Don't Take No, but I'll be back here every single Friday morning to accompany you where there's a good chance you probably commuting again. We appreciate you joining us, and let's keep the conversation going. Tell us what's on your mind, tell us what you like, and tell us what you ain't gonna take no more of. On Twitter, we're at Lady Take. On Insta, we're at Lady Don't Take No Pod. We're also on Facebook or Meta or what the fuck ever it is now at Lady Don't Take No Podcast by Alicia Garza. We post ways to do something about things you hear on this show all over our social media. So if we got you amped up today, check out the socials to find out how you can take action. And let's give a special shout out to Jahari Farrar for making sure the people get what they need from the socials. We appreciate you. Please subscribe and write us a review and let the people know what you've heard here today. Our producer is Phil Circus. Our incredible theme is by Lateryx. And this pod is supported by the Black Futures Lab. And me, I'm your host, Alicia Garza. Remember, this isn't really about abortion. It's about whether or not this country believes that women are people who are capable of making their own decisions about our own fucking bodies. When Democrats play by the rules, they miss the game. Pandemic racism is whack like crack, but if you really want to stop a pandemic, get the fuck vaccinated, like you supposed to be, because Omarion said so. Oh, and Stacey Abrams for governor of Georgia, because it ain't just crack that's whack. Brian Kemp is also whack as fuck. That's right, I said it, because Lady Don't Take No.
Lady don't take no shit, insist on respect the sister, walk around like a woman-ish. She won't speak less of something worse, saying don't play. The girl take herself so serious, like, people stare curious, like, she got a natural way, her hips sway furious, like, yeah, luxurious.
Like, love y'all.